Thank you so much for listening. For more information about Ebenezer Church, visit us online at ebenezerpbc.org.
Certainly be thankful to be here today and ask that you pray for me as I stand before you. I wish after your ordination your nerves would settle down and you wouldn't become nervous to stand in front of God's people, but it is a serious thing to stand in front of God's people and to preach the gospel. I thought our brother's done that before us today, and I want to remain in the book of Galatians, and let's look at chapter 1, starting in verse 1. We'll read through verse 5. It says, Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia. Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Derek's already pointed out these churches in the region of Galatia were suffering from a false doctrine or a false teaching that Jesus wasn't enough. But you had to do something on top of Jesus. They were saying Jesus did his part, but you still had to be circumcised or whatever it is. And many churches even today suffer from the false teaching that Jesus is not enough. And that is the message that he said that we have, that we can tell others, that Jesus is enough. He was enough. He'll always be enough. And so Paul's writing to these people, these churches in this region, and he starts by giving them his credentials. Because he's gonna explain some things to him. And if you're sick and you don't want to go to the marketer guy, you want to go to the doctor, right? You want somebody that's got the right credentials. And so Paul starts by saying, I'm Paul, an apostle. I'm one that was sent from God. Right. I'm the one who was going to persecute the church of God, but was called by God's sovereign grace on the road to Damascus to preach this gospel. That's me, this Paul, and I'm writing to you. You've heard of me, and I'm writing to you, and I'm an apostle. And then he tells what his apostleship, how he got this apostleship. He says it was not of man, neither by man. He says, what I'm about to teach you today, or in this letter that will be circulated through these churches, is from somebody who got this not by man, it wasn't of man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. Paul got this directly from Jesus. He would say in verse 12, when he talks about the gospel and the true gospel, he says, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Right. If there's anybody we can look to in the Scriptures who knows the truth, it's the Apostle Paul, right? He received it by revelation of Jesus Christ. Paul didn't decide one day that I'll go down to the Reformed Apostolic Seminary campus in Jerusalem and decide that I'll be an apostle. No, God called him on the road to Damascus, right? Much like ministers today are called. If you're a true minister of God, you don't decide at age 18, well, I could be a doctor, a lawyer, a pharmacist, whatever. Well, I'll be a preacher. That sounds easy. So I'll go to school and get my degree, and then I'll go to the seminary and get my master's, and then my doctorate, and then I'll have enough to preach. That's not how it works, right? It works that God calls men out of the walk of life to preach his gospel. That's what he did to these fishermen, right? That's what he did to the Apostle Paul. He calls men from all walks of life. I was eating with an elder in a Presbyterian church recently, and he's a good friend of mine, and he knew I was being ordained, and I won't say what I'm thinking, but he said, well, have you been to seminary? And I said, well, no, I haven't. And he said, well, you really need a degree if you're going to preach and teach to God's people. And I said, well, you know who doesn't have a seminary degree? And he said, who's that? And I said, well, the Apostle Paul, for one. And he kind of laughed. And I said, Apostle Peter. And he was getting interested. And I said, and Joel Osteen. All three of those do not have a seminary degree. So don't tell me you have to have a seminary degree to preach. Ministers today are called just like Paul was on the road to Damascus. But ministers today aren't taught by direct revelation of Jesus Christ.
Right.
Many years ago, I've never shared this story before. Many years ago, I was working the same place I work now, and I had a job where I had to correspond with people over email. It was a weird time in my life, and I will admit that this was years ago, but I was feeling the urge that maybe God had called me to preach, which Paul would say later when God called him to preach his gospel, he neither conferred with flesh or blood, but immediately.
Right.
He said he went immediately after, and if you're feeling like you're called to preach, do it immediately, because I can tell you it'll save you a world of heartache mm-hmm. and trouble. And but God surely, I believe, made a way for my gift. But I got an email one time from a lady, and it had this saying on there that God doesn't call the qualified, He qualifies the called. Have you ever heard that? Mm-hmm. And some people may snicker at that, because it's really partly true and partly not true, but it gave me a lot of comfort at that time. But God, it's true that God doesn't call just the qualified, and God will qualify you. But really, God's given you what you need to be qualified, but you've got to qualify yourself.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
God's given you the Word of God. You've got to qualify yourself. Let's go to 1 Timothy. Right. Or let's go to 2 Timothy and look. So God doesn't call the qualified, but He qualifies the call. Well, I would just say on that, He's given you everything you need to qualify yourself. And as we're looking at 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, Paul says to study, I'll get there in a second, study to show thyself approved right. unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You're called of God to preach the gospel. The best thing you can do is study to show yourself approved, right? That word study doesn't just mean to read. We've talked about reading and meditating. That's one thing it's good to do. But he says to study. Right. If you look up that word, it means to give diligent effort or to labor or to endeavor. It's a hard work
yes.
to do. So if you've been called today, I don't know how I got this far away from my subject, but if you've been called today, study. And here's the second thing you need to do. If we look at 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1, I think these are very important for young ministers. And I'm a young minister, so I've done this. You can't say, well, Brother Josh, you haven't done this. I've done this. Paul says, thou therefore, this is 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Now, Paul's writing to Timothy, another minister, and he's telling him, and this is good for anybody, whether you're a minister or not, especially for the ministry, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. As our brother pointed out, discouragement is Satan's greatest weapon, but it's hard to be discouraged when you're strong in the grace of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. When you're thinking on His grace and meditating on His grace and preaching His grace, it's hard to get discouraged. Not impossible to get discouraged, but it's harder to get discouraged. If you're thinking on the things of this world, it's a lot easier to get discouraged when you're thinking on the grace of God, right? So that's the first thing. He says, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Then he says, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. For the young minister, the thing you need to know is to lean on the grace of God and find yourself a good mentor or some good mentors.
Right?
A good mentor or some good mentors, more than one, would be really good. The Bible we talked about, I made a joke about seminaries a minute ago. It doesn't support seminaries. It doesn't. But it doesn't support Lone Ranger preachers either that are just going about themselves on their own.
Right.
It supports a man coming up under older men who have been there and done it before.
Right.
If all your mentors are 30 years old, 20 years old, get you some older mentors who have been through it and been around it.
Yeah.
Don't pick the one with the flashiest Facebook page or the flashiest website, because they'll leave you hurting.
Yeah.
And let me tell you this. We mentioned Facebook earlier and sharing on Facebook. I share a lot of stuff about the church on Facebook. People probably unfollow me. You can dig in and see who's unfollowed or if they've unfollowed your church. And sometimes I see that they have. But I heard, a 2017 proverb of the day, out of the abundance of your Facebook wall, your heart speaketh. You ever heard that? What you share, what you talk about on Facebook, that's where your heart is. If you're sharing John MacArthur and John Piper and Reformed Calvinists all day, or Charles Spurgeon or whoever it is,
right.
beware, brother, because something's not right.
Right.
Amen?
Amen.
Find yourself a good mentor.
Right.
Find yourself somebody who loves the Word of God and has been faithful.
Right.
His church. Well, Paul, we certainly know, was qualified because he got it from Jesus Christ. He says, I'm Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead. And all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia, grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul's already shown that he's qualified, and now he's going to teach this church what the true gospel is, that salvation is completely by works, that man's not justified in any way, whether it may be justified or made righteous so you can go to heaven, whether it's justified in your own mind or conscience. Any form of justification doesn't come from the law or from doing anything. It comes from Jesus Christ.
Right.
And so I believe in verse 4, he's going to give them the gospel. Before he ever gets started, he says, grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father. Brother Derek mentioned, does it ring home to you? Are we excited about this message? Did we just read it? And you know, in a world and in a country where we have it so great, it is easy to take for granted the blessings of God and what God has done for us. It's hard to comfort people who are comfortable, as our brother Josh Winslet, I've heard him say many times. It's hard to tell people about a Savior when people don't think they need a Savior, because they've always saved themselves, right? And so I am just as guilty as anybody else in this room of that. But when you sit here and listen to this statement, who gave himself for our sins, that ought to fire you up just a little bit, right?
Right.
Who gave himself, the unrighteous, or the righteous, the holy, the one who was undefiled and separate for sinners, gave himself for the unrighteous so that the unrighteous could get the benefits of the righteous.
Right.
That's pretty cool, isn't it? I mean, that's something to write home about, as our brother said. Now, I'm not bold enough to smack the guy at the gas station when I leave out of here and tell him what he missed. But maybe I should, Brother Derek. Maybe I should. Because that's good news, and I guarantee you they're not getting it anywhere else.
Yeah. Amen.
The unrighteous. You know, when you think about yourself, let's go to Psalm 14. And we think about ourselves for a moment. Most of the time when I think about myself, I don't think about myself as being unrighteous. When I'm thinking about the good things I do, right? Because I give myself a lot of grace. Do y'all do that? I wish I could give my wife the same amount of grace I give myself. We'd have a much better marriage, probably. We don't have a bad marriage, I'm not saying that, but I wish I gave my kids the amount of grace I give myself. And Abby Grace can leave her Barbie doll out. That's my daughter, Abby Grace. She can leave her Barbie doll out. Now, if I step on it at 10 o'clock at night when the lights are out, I am very angry at Abby Grace. But if I trip over my shoe that I left out on the floor, I say, well, I'll just pick it up, put it in the closet, right? Give your people in your family grace. A lot of times we give ourselves grace, we give others grace, but the people that are near and dear to us, we don't give them a lot of grace, right? Give people in the church a lot of grace. They need a lot of grace, don't they? They're sinners just like you are.
Right.
In Psalm 14, in verse 2, it says, the Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. They are all gone aside. They are all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. I was in a conversation with another friend of mine recently, and a good conversation starter, if you want to share what we believe, is you just got to sit down and say, what do you think about predestination? That's a good conversation starter if you want to share what Primitive Baptists believe. And he said, well, I believe in it. I believe that God looked down through time and saw who would choose him. And that's how it happened. I said, so you think God looked down through time and saw men? And he said, yes. And I said, that reminds me of Psalm 14. And I had my Bible, and we turned there, and I said, the Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there are any that did understand and seek God. And he says, exactly, that's what I'm talking about. So let's read verse 3. They are all gone aside. They are all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. David repeats that in, I believe, Psalm 53, the exact same thing. And then in Romans chapter 3 and verse 10, he says, there are none righteous, no, not one. I heard Brother Sonny Piles before say, if the Bible says it once, take note. If it says it twice, memorize it. I guess if it says it three times, you better really know it, right? Put it on your wall or something. That's good advice for me. And that's us, right? That's me and you today. The unrighteous, even though we're here on a Saturday morning, we're doing, I believe it's a righteous work we've done, but by our nature and without the grace of God, we are those that don't seek God.
Right.
We are those that don't care about God. We are those whose mouths are full of cursing and bitterness.
Yes.
We love to debate more than we love to care for one another.
Yeah.
We are weak, frail people. But the Bible says here that that Jesus Christ gave Himself for our sins. And I mentioned the righteous for the unrighteous. You know, if you look at 1 John chapter 2 and verse 1, we won't turn over there. John is writing and he says, my little children, I write these things that you sin not. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. So where the Bible says that we were unrighteous and we didn't seek God and our mouths were full of bitterness, it says that Jesus was righteous. There was no guile found in His mouth. There was nothing wrong with Him. He was totally separate from sinners. He was holy. He was undefiled. That's Jesus Christ. And He came to earth and bled and died for you and me. What a great transaction that took place on Calvary, right?
Amen.
He says, who gave Himself for our sins. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, for He has made Him to be sin who knew no sins, that we might be the righteousness of God in Him. Now that's something to really get fired up about.
Right.
It says, who gave Himself for our sins, that He might deliver us from this present evil world. As we try to describe the world, and I don't think there's a better description than what the Holy Spirit gave Paul, that it's present and it's evil.
Right.
Be present means it's here. And to be evil means it's bad.
Right.
And we live in a world that's here and it's bad. Right? It's here and it's bad. The word evil means, if you look up the definition, it means prone to injure or cause to injure you. The world will take you, and you don't want to just be alone in this world, right? You don't want to get caught up in this world. And that includes not just the bars and the I almost said honky-tonks. I don't know, the bars and the honky-tonks and the football games or whatever it may be. That would include Fox News and CNN and other things. They're designed to distract you from this world. But but by the Word of God, Paul says that Jesus Christ gave Himself that He might deliver us. And that word, deliver, there means literally to pluck out. He gave Himself. You remember those verses in Matthew, I believe it's Matthew 5, where Jesus says, if your eye offends you, pluck it out. That's the same word that's translated here to might deliver us. So He's saying God gave Himself for your sins to pluck you out of this mess.
Right.
And to be a separate people. And in eternity, we will experience this forever, right? But I believe that God will deliver you right here and right now. That's what we call temporal salvation. And that's one of the big differences that we believe as Primitive Baptists is that God didn't just come to save you for heaven. We preach that He came to save you right here and right now.
Amen.
I believe when the angel told Joseph that he shall save his people, well, he was going to save them for heaven. But he was also going to save them right here and right now. And a lot of times we think of temporal salvation, and I probably preached it like this, and I probably heard it, where if you want to be saved right now, well, grit your teeth and pull up your boots and get to work and save yourself. Peter said, save yourself from this untoward generation, this crooked generation, right? But that's really not the way it works. Lean on Jesus to save yourself from this untoward generation. Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing, right? So temporal salvation isn't, well, I'm going to just put my big boy britches on and get over it. Temporal salvation is, I'm going to lean on Jesus Christ to get through it.
Amen.
Y'all agree with that this morning?
Yes.
You want to have a good marriage? Put Christ in the center of your marriage.
Amen.
You want to raise your children right? Put Christ in the center of your home.
Right.
You want to be an employee that a good employee? Work like you're working for Christ, right?
Right?
Amen.
That's what temporal salvation really is. And then he says, according to the will of God and our Father. I heard Brother Vaughn mention this in his exposition of Luke chapter 18. So it is good to put stuff on the internet. The will of God. A lot of people will say, I wish I knew the will of God. And I've heard people say, well, you can just look to the Bible. But I know what they're meaning. I wish I knew what God was doing sometimes. Don't y'all? But you can know some of the will of God. Look at John chapter 6. You know the will of God. This is what I heard you say last week, Brother Vaughn. You want to know the will of God? Jesus Christ plainly says in John chapter 6 and verse 38, "For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will, that I should offer eternal life to all who would accept me." Did y'all catch that? He says, "And this is the Father's will, which has sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day." Aren't you glad that Jesus told us what his Father's will is? And we don't have to guess about it. We don't have to theorize about it. Brother Derek mentioned Brother Sam, and he got to speak on the radio about what happens to those who never hear of Jesus. He didn't mention this one, but he said the simplest answer is they don't hear of Jesus. Right? But aren't you glad that the Bible says that that doesn't keep them from being in heaven? If they're one of God's children, it is the Father's will that Jesus came to die for them, and he will raise them up at the last day.
Right.
Then Paul says, "To whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." Many in this world today, and before we become self-righteous and say how much better we are, they're doing it ignorantly. They don't give all the glory to God. Maybe they give 95% of the glory to God, 99% of the glory to God. But Paul was very clear, especially at the end of Galatians. He said, "God forbid that I would glory." He thinks of Christ, the cross of Christ. And really, that's what we have to offer, right?
Amen.
Sometimes you'll hear sermons on the purpose of the gospel. And well-meaning people will even make the gospel seem like, well, it really doesn't have much of a purpose.
Right.
It brings life and immortality to light. Let's move on. God did it all. That's the sermons you hear, right? Now, there's a lot of power in the gospel.
Right. Yes. Amen. Yes.
And the gospel is the priority of the church.
Right.
Paul would write in the Ephesian letter, and I'll sit down. He said, "Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus, world without end. Amen." How are we going to do that? Through the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Right.
That's the message we have as the church. So where you may see your friends who maybe they don't believe like we believe, well, the first thing you got to do is love them.
Yes.
Not say, "How could you see that? Have you never read your King James 1611 AV, whatever Bible?" When people are talking about religion, and you start telling them what we believe, you go to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4, and they've never heard that God chose a people before the foundation, a wall goes up.
That's right.
Because that's where I was baptized. That's where I was raised. That's where I graduated Sunday school with perfect attendance and got my badge. And seriously, people, you can harm people by just coming in and, as Brother Ricky Harker said, knocking them between the eyes with a dose of predestination. But you know what God did when Jesus Christ was here on earth? He didn't back down. The Apostle Paul didn't back down. But they did it with love, right?
Amen.
Amen.
There's a hurting world that needs our gospel. Let's give it to them with love. And I'm as guilty as the next person is not doing it. But one thing I've learned in preaching is I preach to myself more than I preach to anybody else. So I love you all. Thank you for having me.